Okay, is everyone ready to start? We are back on the web, and we will start back with the hearing. And Ms. Moore, I believe you are doing the summary with Mr. Thompson.
Correct. Thank you, Ms. Wiest. Mr. Thompson, when we left off yesterday, I believe you had provided the commission with an overview of the study that you conducted on behalf of the petitioners in these cases, and I believe you had just talked with him specifically about the factors that they're advancing in this case. You talked also yesterday about some of the methods of determining an NRMTA factor, and I believe you indicated that the telephone numbers method was what you utilized here. Can you give the commission a little bit more of a summary with regard to why you utilized that particular method on behalf of the petitioners in this case?
Okay. Like I mentioned yesterday, there were three basic methods. The CDR method, which relies on records from the wireless carrier. The telephone numbers method, which the telephone companies can do independent from the wireless carrier by just collecting the data off of the signaling network to determine where that call came from based on the phone number and where it terminates to based on the phone number. And then the third one being that POI method, which we said in a situation like South Dakota is not very accurate. The reason we're using the telephone numbers method is because that's the best method that we have available to us. We've made repeated requests to Altel, and they have not provided us in this case with any of the CDR files, which, like I said yesterday, would be a more accurate way. We found that the SS7 is reasonably accurate, and that was all we had available to us.
Mr. Thompson, when you're talking about the studies that were conducted in this particular case, they were done in October of 2004, if I recall correctly. Do you believe that's still valid?
I have no reason to believe that they're not valid. Again, the SS7 is an estimate. There could have been some changes, like I mentioned yesterday, with regard to the network or routing or various things that the wireless carrier could do to manipulate those numbers or change those numbers. However, I'm not aware of anything that they have done to be able to make those numbers invalid.
One of the positions that Altel has taken in regard to the NRMTA factor is that it's, as a general matter, negotiated. Do you believe that that's appropriate?
As with any negotiated number, you would want that number to bear some semblance of reality. So I would believe that if you negotiate a number, it should be based on fact and should be representative of the actual traffic, obviously. So if negotiation means coming up with a reasonable estimate, I think that would be acceptable. If it means pulling a number out of the air, I don't think that would be acceptable.
And I believe one of the arguments that Altel has made is that there's no reasonable method or study or methodology by which to accurately determine an NRMTA factor. Would you agree with that contention?
No, I would not agree with that. If it's required that our inter-MTA factor be a perfect number, the chances of ever getting to perfection, as with any traffic factor, is probably almost zero. As with any traffic factor, it's an estimate of your traffic for that period of time, and I believe that we can come up with a reasonable estimate of our inter-MTA factor through the studies that we've performed.
Does the study that you performed in this case impose any burden on Altel?
Using the SS7 method, we're able to do that study entirely with the information that's available to the telephone company, and we don't rely on any information that we receive from Altel other than the normal information that comes through in the signaling network that comes along with any telephone call.
Is it uncommon for carriers to use this type of method to determine inter-MTA factors?
No, it's not uncommon. In fact, just in general, using factors for billing is common in the industry. We use it for interexchange carriers as well, for example, where we might have a PIU or a percent interstate usage that we apply to terminating traffic from and IXC to determine how much is interstate versus intrastate, for example. So factors are widely used in the industry, and special studies are also widely used in the industry. For example, on those inter-exchange carriers, a special study may be done occasionally to reset that PIU to ensure that it is as accurate as possible.
One of the other things that's been talked about in the testimony submitted in this case is whether there should be a net inter-MTA factor. Did the petitioners in this case send inter-MTA traffic to Altel?
There could be a very small, almost de minimis amount of inter-MTA that they would send to Altel. It's substantially different than the amount of inter-MTA that would be received from Altel for one of these companies. The only time we would send inter-MTA traffic to Altel would be as if somebody had roamed outside of the area and happened to roam for normally a fairly large distance to be able to go into another MTA. We would not know that when we delivered the call because from our perspective, it still appeared to be a local number when we sent them that call. All other calls that would go to somebody in a different MTA would be sent to an inter-exchange carrier, and I think all parties in this case are in agreement that that doesn't. When you do an inter-MTA study, you don't include the traffic that's gone to an inter-MTA, you know, an IXC.
In your experience in this industry, is the position that Altel has taken with regard to a net inter-MTA factor unusual?
I had never heard of any wireless carrier requesting that in the past.
Is there anything else that you believe you need to explain to the Commission at this point in time to summarize your testimony?
I don't believe so.
We would move for the admission of Mr. Thompson's testimony at this point in time. Specifically, Exhibit 57 would be Mr. Thompson's rebuttal testimony in TC07-112. That is not confidential. Petitioner's Exhibit 58 is the direct testimony of Mr. Thompson in TC07-112. Petitioner's Exhibit 59 is the direct testimony of Mr. Thompson in TC07-113. Petitioner's Exhibit 60 is the direct testimony of Mr. Thompson in TC07-114. Would be the direct testimony of Mr. Thompson in TC07-113.
Okay.
Petitioner's Exhibit 61 is Mr. Thompson's direct testimony in TC07-115. Petitioner's Exhibit 62 is Mr. Thompson's direct testimony in TC07-116. Petitioner's Exhibit 68 is Mr. Thompson's rebuttal testimony in TC07-113. Petitioner's Exhibit 69 is Mr. Thompson's rebuttal testimony in TC07-114. Petitioner's Exhibit 70 is Mr. Thompson's rebuttal testimony in TC07-115. And Petitioner's Exhibit 71 is Mr. Thompson's rebuttal testimony in TC 07-116. And as a housekeeping matter, when I had Mr. Thompson go through the study results yesterday in order to allow him to get through those, I did not introduce the specific exhibits which were attached to his testimony as LP-D-4, and those are confidential. So I would introduce those separately so that Mr. Thompson's testimony can be non-confidential. The particular exhibits that were attached to the testimony would be confidential then.
Okay, do you want to go through those?
Please. Exhibit 63 would be Exhibit LT-D-4 for McCook. Petitioner's Exhibit 64 would be Exhibit LT-D-4 for Beersford. Petitioner's Exhibit 65 would be Exhibit LT-D-4 for Kennebec. Petitioner 66 would be Exhibit LT-D-4 for Santel. Petitioner 67 would be Exhibit LT-D-4 for West River. And Exhibit 63 through 67 would be confidential. We would move for the admission of all of those exhibits at this time.
Okay, is there any objection to any of those exhibits?
None.
If not, they will be admitted, and I believe that's exhibits 57 through 71?
Correct.
And then all of the exhibits to his rebuttal?
Those would be attached to
the rebuttal
testimony.
And are not confidential.
Correct.
Okay. Mr. Wazori.
Thank you. Mr. Thompson, I want to start with something you just ended with, and that's this inter. You said there would rarely ever be an inter-MTA call from a... You said there would rarely be an inter-MTA call made from a landline to a wireless carrier. Do you recall that?
That does not go through an inter-exchange carrier, correct?
Well, in the case of Beersford, there's locally rated numbers of Alltel and Beersford, correct?
That is correct.
And those locally rated numbers, if we take what your testimony was yesterday about your 80-20 split in Beersford, as much as if this, what do you know? What side the switch is on and the tower is on?
Yes, I do.
Okay, what side are they on?
The switch is on the southern part of the exchange, which is in Union County, which is in the Des Moines MTA. The tower is on the northern side, which is in Lincoln County, which is in the Minneapolis MTA.
So there would be numerous calls made in that MTA in Beersford, landline, local calls.
I believe there would be more in Beersford. And when I said that for most of the companies, that would be almost de minimis. Beersford would be an exception to that.
Okay.
There will be more for Beersford than the other companies, yes.
The and you understand, in Beersford, you understand that Alltel and its predecessor, Western Wireless, has had locally rated numbers there since even before the 96 Act.
I don't recall when they were put in place.
Okay, but those have always been treated as local calls. They were treated as local calls before the 96 Act, correct?
If it was in place before the 96 Act, it would have been treated as local calls prior to the 96 Act, yes.
Okay, and when you you said you trust your SS7 analysis, but when you originally did this exact SS7 analysis and presented it to Beersford, didn't you tell Mr. Hansen, the GM at Beersford, that you thought the number calculated is much higher than reality?
I believe I told him it was higher than what I expected it to be, but I don't recall my exact words.
Okay. Do you recall telling him you thought it should only be around 40 to 50%?
I believe I did send him an email, if I recall, that did say something to that effect. That was one of the real early when we were doing the studies, and I was just shocked when I saw the 70%, which I thought was higher than I had expected it. Since then, I've re-looked at the analysis, and I feel more confident with the 70.
Okay. You testified just a little bit ago that all the information necessary to do this study is within control of your clients to obtain it, your SS7 study.
That is correct.
But this study was done for most of these companies by pulling data in 2004 for Western Wireless, correct?
That is correct.
You didn't repeat the study, and here we're almost 4 years later.
The only one we repeated it for, like I mentioned yesterday, was Kennebec. We did another study in 2005, which is the data that I provided.
Okay. But nothing would have prevented you from pulling and doing an SS7 study January of this year.
That is correct.
You simply decided to go with these numbers?
We found that by calculating the numbers and providing our estimates to Altel has not done any good in the past.
I'm sorry, I missed that last part.
It hasn't done any good in the past. We've tried to provide reasonable estimates for inter-MTA factor, and they've been ignored, so we didn't see any use in redoing the study.
Well, you've testified that changes that, now the way calls are delivered, if they've been moved over to an IXC, would have an impact on your study, correct?
It would, yes.
So any changes that have been made and the way traffic is delivered to any of these companies was not taken into consideration in this study, correct?
That study was at one point in time back in 2004, and we have not changed anything in the study since then.
Right. So any changes in how traffic was delivered by to these companies after Altel bought out Western Wireless, you've not made any modifications to account for those changes?
That is correct, and those changes could increase the inter-MTA factor or they could decrease the inter-MTA factor.
Except you would agree with me that any IXC-delivered traffic should not be considered in coming up with your inter-MTA factor.
Correct. If it's delivered through an IXC, I would assume that the telephone companies are receiving their switched access rates from that IXC, and they wouldn't expect that from Altel.
Right. They're not trying to double dip.
That is correct. They just want what they're due.
The the proposed interconnection agreement discusses and allows for inter-MTA traffic to flow both ways. So it's not, you're not taking the position that the commission cannot, under this inter-MTA agreement, do an offset, are you?
I said that I believe that there could be some inter-MTA traffic that's being sent from the landline carrier to the wireless carrier, Altel in this case. I'm not proposing that even a netting would happen, but there could be some accounting for that, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just trying to clarify your testimony. You're not telling this commission it cannot net under some law. You're just saying that you think that would be a small number if they chose to do that.
Correct.
You seem to attribute the inter-MTA calls primarily, with the exception of Beresford, which is kind of a unique one for both sides of the equation, to roaming traffic. But isn't it true that, let's say I lived in West Rivers territory, north of Newell, and being here on my cell phone, if my wife calls me, well, listen, let's take Wall, it's probably easier because you don't understand, because West River does have some territory that's in both two MTAs. So if I live in Wall and if my wife calls me while I'm sitting here, isn't that an inter-MTA call?
And with your current telephone number that's rated in Rapid City, or what?
If it was rated in Wall, and from where she called me, Rapid City or Wall, that's an inter-MTA call when she calls me here at night.
That is correct, yes.
But I'm not roaming at that point.
I think we're talking about semantics here, where I think you are referring to roaming as being you've moved onto the network of a different wireless carrier. What I'm saying, when I say roaming, I mean you're mobile and you've moved out of your home rate center.
Okay, I appreciate that clarification, because I think you would agree with me that that actually is how most people, when they're away from home, receive their calls anymore, is over their locally rated wireless to their home.
That is correct. However, most people make their phones from their home rate center or near their home rate center.
Yeah. And you're proposing a per-minute charge. Have you done any analysis on whether the calls per call tend to be longer when you're out of your rate center versus when you're in it?
Yeah, we have done a study on that. It's been some time, but the hold time tends to be longer when you're away from your home rate center.
Now, you say this is a fairly simple approach, this SS7 analysis, but it takes a lot of your time and a lot of work, doesn't it?
It's not that difficult, no.
Okay. You would agree with me, a POI methodology is even easier to calculate.
POI methodology would clearly be easier to calculate, yes.
That's all I have.
Staff has no questions.
Commissioners? I did have a question. When Mr. Wazorik was asking why you didn't update the SS7, I believe you said it's because Altel, and maybe I'm paraphrasing here, hasn't accepted your numbers in the past. But in this case, when you're going to the commission, wouldn't it have been better for you to have updated numbers for us to rely on?
You know, at the time we did not know of any substantial network changes that we felt would invalidate our numbers, so at the time we didn't think that there was any real need to do that. There's a lot of things that the wireless carrier could do to either intentionally or unintentionally manipulate those numbers to change them, either for a short period of time or a long-term time. It's been my experience, however, that with time, inter-MTA factors increase rather than decrease. And the reason being is that wireless carriers, as we've even seen over the last couple of years where, you know, Altel purchased Western Wireless and their network became larger. You know, you can see that now they have a lot more customers and a lot more phone numbers in Nebraska and Minnesota and some of the surrounding states, for example. Now, obviously, Verizon is in the process of purchasing Altel, which is going to make their network larger yet. So that gives them the ability to take calls from a larger geographic area and terminate them locally to our clients here in South Dakota. And that's been the history with most wireless carriers as the consolidation has been happening. So typically, inter-MTA factors increase. So I would think that, as a general rule, our numbers are probably conservative. So we didn't feel that there was any need at this point to rerun them.
But wouldn't it have been beneficial to your companies then to rerun the numbers because you would have gotten better numbers for yourself?
You know, they can always be rerun. If we could come up with something in our ReciPComp agreement, for example, or the interconnection agreement that would provide for that methodology, I'm sure that they would be open to rerunning those numbers.
And then I believe your first preference, though, is for essentially a CDR study. Is that correct?
CDR would be the most accurate way to do it. If we could get dependable CDRs from the wireless carrier, and as you know, we've been able to get those in the past, it's just that it's very difficult to get the CDR files.
And did you ask for the CDR records in this proceeding?
I believe we have.
And they stated that they would not provide them?
I do not recall exactly. They did not provide them, and I can't recall exactly what the statement was.
And then in your proposed interconnection agreement, what sort of language have you used that would state when CDR studies, how often they would be performed, under what circumstances? Is there language in there that states that?
You know, I believe there are, but I was not involved in the development of the interconnection agreement, so I don't recall exactly what the language was in there. I do know it was attached to the original petition.
Right. Okay, thank you. Any redirect?
Please. Mr. Thompson, in this particular case, in Mr. Williams' rebuttal testimony, he essentially took the SS7 analysis that you performed for each of these companies and reran it, or applied some of his own assumptions with regard to changes in the Altel network to it to recalculate your numbers. You had an opportunity to review that?
Yes, I did.
And Mr. Wazorek asked you about the changes in the Altel network. Do you agree with how Mr. Williams reran your study?
No, and like I mentioned earlier, there's changes in the network that could decrease inter-MTA, and there's other changes that could increase inter-MTA. And my belief is the way he changed the numbers in his rebuttal testimony, he accounted for only the things in the Altel network that could have potentially decreased it, and there's other factors much larger that would have tended to increase the inter-MTA, which were entirely ignored.
And did he provide you in his rebuttal testimony with an adequate foundation or adequate information for you to test his assertions?
No. It seemed to be it's a simple spreadsheet that he had manipulated the numbers. I had to make some assumptions on what I believed he was doing.
Mr. Wazorek also asked you about the POI methodology, and I think he specifically asked you if that would be easier. It may be easier, but in your opinion, is it necessarily the best method that you've talked about?
It's easier because it's wrong. It's goes back to essentially pulling out a number out of the air. It would be like if I wanted to calculate how many miles it might be to get back to Bellevue, Washington, I could sit down with my Microsoft Streets and Trips and put it in and come up with those 1,300 miles. And that would be a very accurate, it follows the roads. I could go and I could measure the distance with a string on my globe and see that it's, you know, 1,200 miles to get back there. And that'd be kind of like my SS7 as opposed to the CDRs. It's not exactly following the roads, but it's a pretty close estimate. The POI methodology would be like throwing a dart at a map and coming up with some random number, usually very low number. And POI methodology just does not work in a state like South Dakota. Back when They came up with the in paragraph 1044 that we've been talking about all along, when they said POI would be a an alternative method. There could have been instances back then, especially when there was a lot of small wireless carriers with a lot of POIs that were geographically dispersed, that would make sense that that POI maybe was a reasonable representation of the location of the caller. Today, as I was saying earlier, with how large the wireless networks have become, it's no longer, at least in South Dakota, a reasonable representation of the location of the caller.
Because it's not a reasonable representation of the location of the caller, what does that do to the number, or the factor, I should say, itself?
There would be an enormous error introduced, and in this instance, that error would be introduced in the wireless carrier's favor because it would drive the inter-MTA down.
Ms. Wiest asked you some questions about the current agreement that's been proposed and the specific language that's been proposed in regard to the inter-MTA factor, and I appreciate that you don't have that in front of you and weren't necessarily a part of the negotiations with regard to that section of the agreement. But in the past, has it been your experience that it's been wise to have something in the agreement to account for readjustment of the factor?
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I thought you were done.
Particularly with Alto.
All right. I'm going to object. Unless we have at issue language where they're proposing that, I don't think that has any relevance here.
Is there language proposing that?
I don't believe so.
So what is your question?
Essentially, I was attempting to talk with Mr. Thompson about your question, about including language in there that would allow for readjustment of that. It was just exploring your question and perhaps trying to have him expound on that. If that's not something you're concerned about, then I will withdraw the question.
I'll overrule. I'd like to hear the answer.
Yeah, we do a lot of negotiation of interconnect agreements for our clients, and that's common language in our interconnection agreements, as well as I made the analogy earlier about PIUs, for example. It's common language in a tariff like NECA and LECA, for example, that you would have language in there for true-up of a calculation and true-up of a PIU, and oftentimes we would have language for calculation and true-up of an inter-MTA factor as well.
And in this particular, given the history between Alto and the petitioners in this particular case, is there a reason why there hasn't necessarily been a readjustment theory advocated?
Alto just has never cooperated on adjusting or readjusting the inter-MTA factor.
Thank you.
Mr. Thompson, do you know that the agreement doesn't even call for any ability to readjust the inter-MTA factor after the commission decides?
Like I said, I was not involved in this specific negotiation of this agreement, and I'm not sure what the verbiage is.
So your general comments that you think Altel somehow negotiated this in bad faith, those have nothing to do with the negotiations here?
I don't believe I ever said Altel negotiated this in bad faith, but I do know that previous agreements have included that language, and it's never worked.
Well, so you don't know anything about what this agreement says?
Not with respect to inter-MTA, no.
Let's talk about the larger. Let's assume. Well, first of all, it wasn't. Is the first time you understood that Altel had acquired Western Wireless is when you read Mr. Williams' rebuttal testimony?
No.
So that wasn't a secret. You knew that. You were active in the industry. You knew Altel had acquired Western Wireless, correct?
Yes, I had.
And you knew there were some divestitures that occurred with that?
Yes, I was familiar with that.
Well, so you had knowledge the network had changed, correct?
I would imagine it had, yes.
And, even if Altel has every person in Nebraska using their phone, if all those calls are delivered to your company as over an IXC, none of those even count in your study, correct?
If they were all delivered over an IXC, but we know historically all of the Nebraska calls have not been delivered over an IXC.
From Alltel?
From Western Wireless.
Okay, but it's no longer Western Wireless, it's Alltel, isn't it?
It is.
So you didn't think it was necessary to find that information out?
Like I said, the changes that I could see that from the outside appeared that it would increase the inter-MTA rather than decrease the inter-MTA. And we've been unsuccessful in getting Alltel or Western Wireless to accept an inter-MTA factor based on our analysis, so it seemed to be a waste of time.
Well, yeah, but that's not my question. That's not an answer to my question. My question was, there could have been interrogatory saying, have you changed this? You could have asked for routing changes since the Alltel had been acquired. You said that running an SS7 analysis is easy. You could have done that again, couldn't have you?
We could have.
So the mere fact a company is larger doesn't mean your inter-MTA is going to go up, correct?
No, I said that's the tendency. That's been the trend in my professional experience.
Okay, interesting you use the word trend, because when I hear an expert use the word trend, generally it means he's done several studies of a group over a period of time. So how many studies have you done for Beersford?
I didn't say that I've done the study for Beersford specifically. We do inter-MTA studies for a lot of our clients, and we operate in multiple states.
So you've done multiple studies, except for this one in Kennebec, for anybody, and that's involved in this case?
The only study we've done is the ones that we've provided you in this case for these particular five companies.
All right. So I want to talk a little bit about this CDR thing you keep coming back to. So for some of these companies, the difference based on your factors is as little as $300 a month, isn't it?
Difference between what?
What the more they'll make.
Well, I don't understand the question.
Well, didn't you provide an analysis?
I overruled the objection.
Didn't you provide an analysis to like McCook and say, once you ran this study and say, we expect that this would increase your billables by $300 a month?
Compared to the 3% that was in the contract at the time, is that the...
Yeah, it's the analysis under the old
contract. Can you show me what you're referring
sure.
to?
Sure. I'll just show it to you to refresh your memory. Do you want me to mark it or just...
Yes, I do see that. Yep.
It says your estimate based on that analysis would be a $300 more.
Correct.
So, and you understand as it deals with the CDRs, given the nature of wireless carriers, I mean, this isn't the first time you and I have talked about this in the hearing setting, given the nature of the wireless companies, they don't capture CDRs. They don't capture that kind of information like the like your clients do, the LEX.
I don't believe that. I believe they do capture that information.
Okay. Do your clients need that information because they have to bill for incoming calls?
If we are going to bill for inter-MTA as the FCC outlines, yes, we would need that information unless the wireless carrier would take the SS7 approach, and I believe that approximation is acceptable.
And let me back up. You guys could retain SS7 data for all calls coming in because you have to bill for your landline long distance. When you got landline coming in, you got to build your IXCs. You got to do all this information. You have to have all that information, and you have all the billing software and all everything to capture that, correct?
That is correct.
And you understand that Alltel doesn't keep that.
I do not know that that's the case. In fact, I believe that's not the case. I think we have testimony saying that it's otherwise in other cases.
I believe testimony was it's not kept in any kind of searchable database or format that you could ever do this without spending tens of thousands of dollars.
The testimony was that Alltel retained that for 2 years, if I recall correctly.
Yeah. Well, probably except for maybe one commissioner, you and I were the only ones probably at that hearing.
It's public record.
Yeah. The on this on the inter-MTA issue where you said Alltel has more customers, and if wouldn't the actual potential impact for your clients primarily located in the Minneapolis zone potentially be you'd have more local calling? Because if all the calls coming from Minnesota to McCook would be considered local, correct?
That is correct, and there's a lot more in Nebraska as well, which would be inter-MTA.
Right, and that is, but if it's delivered over an IXC.
I have not said, I do not know that that is the case. But if it was delivered over an IXC, like I said earlier in my testimony, that they would not be looking for compensation on that.
Okay. That's all I have.
I'm sorry, Karen. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
When you were talking to Ms. Moore earlier, you stated that in Mr. Williams' rebuttal testimony, the way it was changed, it only accounted for decreasing the numbers. What changes would have increased it?
I do have an exhibit that kind of shows that. Can I use that exhibit? Would that be acceptable?
It is to me. But Ms. Moore, have these been admitted?
No, this is not yet been offered,
no. Okay. Well, no, I just want to make sure it gets in the record that we have
it's been provided to the court, but if it's not attached,
okay, that's good. All right. Thank you.
What I've done here is I've taken one of the changes that was made by Mr. Williams in his testimony is he took all of the NPA NXXs from the wireless carriers that were used in the study and were later divested. Like, for example, RCC in Minnesota purchased the Western Wireless Network in Minnesota after the Alltel purchase, just due to the fact that Alltel already had wireless coverage there. So what happened is you can see on Western Wireless in 2004, these were the NXXs, how many NXXs would potentially have been taken out by Mr. Williams in his testimony. However, what I was saying earlier is he neglected to add back in the NXXs that were added as part of the Alltel acquisition, which are these other lines. And you can see that especially in some of these places where we could potentially have inter-MTA traffic, 16 NXXs might have been subtracted out, but he failed to add in the other 53 here. Or 34 could have been subtracted out in Nebraska, area code 402, but he failed to add in the 126 that Alltel acquired in that process. And this one. This one shows something very similar. This is just an NXX comparison. So it basically shows the difference between those two numbers that I was showing earlier. So like in MTA 45, which is the Omaha, not in South Dakota, there is actually an increase in 114 new NXXs after the Altel acquisition. Although they divested their older Western Wireless properties in Nebraska, that was small in comparison to the network that they acquired. And that's my point here, is you can't just go back and manipulate that data in the way that they did, because they're subtracting out this much, but they neglected to add in what really should have been added back in.
That's all I have. Thank you.
So, Mr. Thompson, then, those changes to the network does change the number. Is that correct? You just don't know how it changes it?
Correct. I would anticipate that they will change. There's a lot of other things that we've talked about that could change it as well. But my point is, when you make a change in the network, it could increase the inter-MTA or it could decrease the inter-MTA. That analysis done by Mr. Williams in his rebuttal testimony was only taking into account some factors that could have potentially decreased it and ignored all the others, which could potentially even be larger that maybe increased it.
But why then didn't you ask Altel for their changes in the network since 2004 in order to present to the commission the most accurate number?
In the discovery, I believe we did ask for network information and got very limited. We did receive like their tower locations, for example, but it was very difficult to get any information. We've made repeated requests in this case and others for CDRs and haven't received them.
Well, I'm not talking about CDRs. It was the SS7 information.
What was your question then again?
That's good. I think you answered it at the beginning. And then going back to the adjustment, the CDR language, and I won't ask you about this particular interconnection agreement, but you stated that when you have proposed adjustments, that language has never worked. So my question is, though, how would silence on those issues work better to resolve any disputes? I mean, how would anything be adjusted?
If you believe that the inter-MTA factor that you're proposing and negotiating is reasonable and it would, be enforced throughout the term of that agreement, you might be okay.
But in this case, you have a number for CDRs based on a CDR study?
That's correct. That was what was in my test. Oh, not CDRs. I'm sorry. Just SS7. Yes.
Right. So my point is that I believe you stated that your first, what you would prefer is for the number to be based on a CDR study, correct?
Correct.
But have you provided a CDR number?
No, because we can't get the CDRs from Altel.
Right. But then if the commission would accept that, your position is that it's better for the agreement not to have any language on adjustment of any number that could be come up because Altel has it's caused problems in the past?
Like I said, I wasn't involved in the development of that agreement, and I don't know what's in there and what's not in there.
Okay, thank you. That's all I had. Ms. Moore? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We'll try this. There we go. Mr. Thompson, if Altel stated that the CDR data isn't necessarily in a format that's easy for them to use, I think you've stated that a wireless carrier could, through making network changes in how they route traffic, could, and you didn't say this, but so tell me if it's a misrepresentation, but essentially could game the numbers. So given that, then SS7 data might not be an accurate representation of what's really going on. I mean, what's your recommendation to this commission? I mean, if CDRs aren't going to work and if SS7 isn't accurate, if the point method isn't accurate, I mean, what's a commission to do? I mean, do we essentially just select an arbitrary number?
I don't believe I said that the SS7 wasn't accurate. I think the SS7 is a reasonable representation of the actual traffic. I do agree with you, Commissioner, that there could be things that the wireless carrier does that artificially manipulate that number. My fear is that, let's say the commission would to come and say, okay, let's go rerun your SS7 analysis. Next month, whatever you come up with is what you're going to live with in this agreement for the next 3 years. They could easily go out and manipulate how they're routing their traffic to get an artificially low number. After the study, it goes back to normal, and you know, we end up not getting what we're due again. So I would think that if we were to have some sort of a re-look at the study, it would probably have to be repeated occasionally. And like I said, it's not a difficult study to perform, but I think it would have to be repeated on a periodic basis just to make sure, like in your words, that the system isn't being gamed.
And I do understand your concern. To me, it's not at all evident to me that 2008 numbers, even if manipulated, would be less accurate than 2004 numbers, given, you know, and you know the industry better than I do. It seems that there are, you know, 6 months in the telecom industry can be an eternity as far as trends and the deployment of new technologies and calling patterns and all of that stuff. Do you have any reason to believe that the 2004 numbers would be more accurate than even manipulated 2008 numbers?
I have no reason to believe that they wouldn't be. In 2008 numbers, if we were to rerun it, as long as they're not manipulating the phone number, which I have no reason to believe that they are, it should be still a reasonable estimation. However, it would be my fear that, let's say, for example, they might one day start sending a bunch of their traffic to an IXE just before the study. We run the study, and then they put it all back over the local trunks. The problem is we've got these trunks with Qwest where they intermix toll and local. If they were to artificially pull their toll off, put it to an interexchange carrier while the study's being run, and then put it back on those local trunks again, we still wouldn't get compensated. So it's got to be done with the time where the data is. You know, the SS7 is still a reasonably good estimate, but they might have manipulated their routing to artificially deflate that number.
In your answer to a question a couple of questions ago, you indicated that, you know, that perhaps rerunning that study on a periodic basis to test the validity of the numbers might be a smart move. Do you have any idea? I mean, do you have any suggestions to the commission as what, I mean, how often would be an appropriate rerun of those numbers?
You know, I would think quarterly or every 6 months or something would be a reasonable, you know, interval. I'm not saying that it should be done monthly or anything.
In perpetuity?
It could be. Or maybe we have some sort of an agreement where if we believe that there's been something that's happened, that we could rerun, either party could rerun the numbers, but no sooner than every quarter or no sooner than every 6 months. And maybe we don't rerun it unless we see anything odd happening with traffic changes.
Thank you.
So is it the petitioner's position that if the commission doesn't accept CDR study, doesn't go with the call detail, that's your first choice, right?
That would be my first choice,
that you base
choice,
it on call detail.
That would be the most accurate, but
right,
we have to rely on the wireless carrier to provide
right,
those.
To get that information.
Please don't talk over.
I'm sorry. We'll just go from there. That's my fault. So if the commission did not accept the call detail record methodology and the commission went with the SS7 methodology, you have proposed numbers for that methodology, correct?
I have.
So is it your position that those numbers are for the length of the agreement? Is that what you have proposed?
I think all of the petitioners here would be acceptable to that solution, yes.
But that is that your proposal?
Correct.
Your proposal is that it's for the length of the agreement. Your proposal is not that any other studies, SS7 studies, would be done, that that the commission would accept the numbers that you have presented and use those throughout the length of the agreement with no adjustments made during the term of the agreement.
I believe they would all be acceptable to that proposal.
But is that your position?
I guess I can't answer that directly. I was involved in the SS7 study, but as far as the negotiations and actually the contract, I haven't been involved in that.
Thank you. Any further redirect, Ms. Moore?
Please. Mr. Thompson, we've been talking about adjustments of the inter-MTA factor. The agreement that existed between these parties prior to the one that we're here to talk about today, which I believe was effective as of January 1 of 2003, that agreement included language that established an initial inter-MTA factor and then required that the parties agree after a certain period of time to readjust it. Are you familiar with that agreement?
Yes, I did write a fair amount of that agreement.
And was the factor ever readjusted after the initial time period?
There were multiple attempts to readjust that factor. Many attempts to get CDRs, all were unsuccessful, yes.
And in fact, did that particular readjustment provision actually spawn some litigation between the parties that are present today in federal court?
I'm just going to object as to relevance. I mean, some of the people in here in the room sat through a couple weeks of a hearing on this, and there's a lot of information there. I don't think it has any bearing on the current petition, that what all the litigation that followed on that contract. So I don't see how it has any bearing on the issues in front of this commission today.
Overall,
it's spawned numerous court cases and hearings in front of this commission, yes.
Has the factor ever been readjusted?
It has not.
And because of the involvement in the prior proceeding between the petitioners in this case and Altel in federal court, was this particular negotiation for the development of an interconnection agreement with Altel the first time that Altel's ever seen your SS7 data?
No, they've seen it numerous times in the past.
And have you reviewed the discovery that the parties have exchanged in this particular case?
Yes, I have.
And were requests made of Altel to provide comment with regard to the SS7 analysis?
Yes, there was.
And were there requests made to Altel to provide information about any studies or factors that it might propose?
Yes, there was.
And were there questions posed to Altel to provide specific detail regarding intra and inter-MTA minutes of use on their network?
Yes, there was, and they claimed they didn't have that information, didn't provide anything.
Thank
until
you.
The rebuttal testimony where we saw the manipulation of my data.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. And for a housekeeping matter, I should move for the introduction of the exhibits that Mr. Thompson was talking about with Ms. Kramer. The first one would be Petitioner's Exhibit 72, which would be Exhibit LT-1. The second would be Petitioner's Exhibit 73, which would have been marked as Exhibit LT-H-3, and we would seek their admission at this time.
Is there an objection? Those exhibits have been admitted. Were you done?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I was.
Did you have any further cross?
Yeah. Bring your chart back up here again, Mr. Thompson. Can you tell me which one was, what was this marked as?
Actually, that's not one of the ones he used before. He used LT-H-1 and LT-H-3.
Which one of these is the Nebraska difference? All right. Now, if all of those calls are delivered today over an IXC, it has absolutely no impact on your study, correct? Excuse me. I said that wrong. all those are delivered by an IFC. None of these should be considered in your SS70 study, correct?
That would be correct.
And so, you know, you recall when you did your study in 2004 whether Western Wireless had a switch in Nebraska?
I believe they did.
And do you know it was divested as part of the Altel buyout?
I don't know that that was the case. I have no knowledge one way or the other.
Okay. So, you know, I mean, the number of, I think I even said in my original cross, if everybody in Nebraska carries an Altel phone and all those calls from Nebraska are delivered over an IFC, they shouldn't be counted in your study, correct?
That would be correct. I have no evidence that that is the case.
So if the commission accepted the CDR methodology, do the petitioners have any position? What is their position on whether that should be adjusted? You're not aware of it?
I'm not aware of it, but I would think that there would need to be some sort of a methodology to true that up occasionally. Again, my fear is that if they artificially manipulate the data or how they route their traffic just before a study and then they've got to live with that for 3 years, that would not be very fair. So there's got to be some sort of mechanism, I think, if we're going to do that. Number one, that we would be able to audit and have confidence in the CDRs that we're receiving, and number two, that we would be able to true it up if we believe that some traffic routing or network changes have occurred that would change the amount of interim TA that's being terminated.
But you don't know if you've actually proposed that in, if they propose that in an interconnection agreement.
I don't believe that we've even in the interconnection agreement have requested. I think your question was if the commission were to say that they had to provide those CDRs and do that, I would think that if the commission took that position, we would also, in addition to that, want the ability to true it up.
Callahan, any further redirects?
Just one, please. Mr. Thompson, if there were to be language in the agreement requiring readjustment, would you propose that there would be something that would essentially require the parties to agree to a particular method and to implement that without opportunity for disagreement or argument?
I think everybody here would agree that that would be a very wise move. We all know how much time, effort, and money has been spent on debating that type of issue, and if we could simply agree with a process and a method, put it in the agreement so that there's no issues there. I will say that the telephone numbers method is becoming an industry supported method. People such as NECA, even in their phantom traffic proposal to the FCC, are supporting the telephone numbers method, which is the same as the SS7 method I've been proposing here.
Thank you.
Ms. Wiest, oh, I'm sorry. I have a question. Did you have one?
No, I don't have a question. Go ahead.
If I could. You talk about, you know, your concern is possibly Altel gaming the numbers. Does that have to be, that study have to be done real time, or could you use, say, April of 08's numbers? Is there some more way to use historical?
Normally for either SS7 or CDR, it is a historical. And it's different than oftentimes how you bill an inter-exchange carrier today, where really it's done on a record-by-record basis. It's done in real time, as you're mentioning. Normally for a special study, when you adjust a PIU or you measure inter-MTA, you agree on a particular time frame. So you'd say, I want to do April 1st to April 30th of 08. And usually it's a month or two historical, because it takes a while to gather all of the CDRs to be able to process them and get them to you.
If he did that, would they be able to game those then if you did in April of 08?
It all depends. You know, it could have been, and I'm pure speculation here, but they may anticipate that the commission were going to do this, and they may have, back in February, have made some network changes in anticipation that the commission may want to do a measurement. I don't know. But so it may be possible. I don't know how likely.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further questions?
Can I just ask one that's follow-up to staff? You're not sitting here saying that the Alltel buying Western Wireless was some manipulation of the NRMTA for these companies, are you?
No, I don't think I even implied that.
Well, that's all I have.
Any further questions?
No, thank you.
Not thank you.
That would conclude the presentation of petitioner's witnesses who have filed testimony in this matter.
Do you, It's Alltel's going to call Craig Conwell first, and you know his summary, because he's addressing three other witnesses, is going to take a while. So I don't know if that makes you want to rethink taking a break right now.
Okay, we will take a 10-minute break.